Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it's already been just being in church on this midweek service. I don't think you can get this anywhere else. Amen. The presence of the Lord, which we know is here in the midst with us. Others around you of like faith, like belief. And then opening up the precious Word of God to be able to receive help, direction, and insight. From God. What a blessing it is. And so we appreciate your presence here tonight. Looking forward as we get back into our life of Joseph. Now, of course, we talked this, on the life of Joseph last Wednesday night. We've been in the life of Joseph for some time. The theme to this study is God is able to work all things out for good. And that was Joseph's life, even though it didn't look like many a times that God was even working in his life, that God allowed certain things to take place, sold by his brothers into slavery, lied about to Potiphar, just all the things that kept happening to Joseph. And yet, Joseph kept the faith and realizing that God had a purpose, a plan, and that in the end, all things would work together for good. Now, we have that same biblical truth given to us in Romans 8:28. And so this is a tremendous study. We've just been going through and studying these biblical principles that we find illustrated in the life of Joseph. Joseph, now being led by God, is putting his brothers through a series of tests that will get them to acknowledge God. Now, these are the brothers, the children of the sons of Jacob, which would eventually make up the 12 tribes of Israel. And 10 of those boys had just sold their youngest brother into slavery. They had a long ways to go. Amen. God had to do something in their lives to get them to the place where they would be looked at as the leaders of the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes that would make up the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob. And so this is all part of God's design plan. And we know that at the end. And Joseph even tells his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I believe all the brothers would testify to that, that it changed their lives. What took place during this trial, this test that God put them through, changed their lives. And that's what it was intended to do. And so we've been looking at this. Joseph, being led by God, he's on the right hand of Pharaoh. He has got the position that God had revealed to him, even when he was yet a teenager, that God had special plans for Joseph. And he saw in a dream, in a vision, that his brothers would bow down before him. Didn't understand how it was going to happen. When he was sold into slavery, I guarantee you, when he was gagged and bound and was being carried away to be sold as a slave, I don't think that he thought he was special during that time. When he was lied about and taken out and thrown into prison, Joseph didn't seem like he was very special then either. And yet, God was still working in Joseph's life. And so now he's over all of Egypt and the whole area are coming to Egypt to find food because there's a great famine in the area. And people are starving to death and dying, and animals are dying all around. And so the only place they could go to be preserved, to preserve life, would be to go to Egypt, where Joseph was overseeing all the food of the land. And so now he looks out, and 27 years after he was sold into slavery, he sees his 10 brothers. Now there's a countless number of emotions went through Joseph. One of love, this is my family. No doubt, one of hate, it's my family, but they sold me into slavery. What do? Do I go down? I desire to hug and kiss them, but I'm in a position now I can make them pay. Revenge. All these emotions, which would have been of the natural man. Yet Joseph had already yielded to God. He had learned that yielding to God was the best thing he could do through all of his trials of life. God has delivered him from every trial. God has prepared him through the trials to be the man that he is now and have the position. God blessed Joseph so that Joseph could be a blessing. That's one of the principles. If you're blessed by God, you're blessed by God so that you can be a blessing. Not that you're special. Amen? You're blessed by God so that God can work through you with those blessings to be a blessing. You know, help us to never forget that. And so we find here that Joseph realized that. So Joseph now yielding to God, and God leads Joseph to put his brothers through this test. And this test would get them to acknowledge God. And we studied last week in chapter 42 in verse 28. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored. This is the boys once they got home. They found that their monies was in their sack. And lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them. And they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? Now, they had just been to Egypt. They had been accused of being spies. They were sent with their food that they came to get. And yet now Joseph had their money put back in each one of their sacks. And they think that this money is in our sack and we're going to get in trouble. They're going to now come and call us thieves and lie about us and all the things that are going on. And it was all God's plan. But instead of saying, what has the Egyptian leader done to us? They acknowledge God and say, what has God done? Now that's important. That's huge. Because they had not acknowledged God when they sold their brother into slavery. If they would have acknowledged God, they wouldn't have done it. But now they're acknowledging God. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. New Testament, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Same principle, same truth. Look to God, acknowledge Him in all your ways, in every decision you have to make. Well, that's what they're learning. They're learning this, but they still have more to learn. And so now here in chapter 43, if you'll stand with me, we'll read what we'll be studying tonight, chapter 43, verses 1 through 14. They left Simeon in jail. They come home, and their dad says, no, you're not taking Benjamin to go back. And so they were going to just try to wait it out. They weren't planning on going back to Egypt, but Joseph knew that eventually they would be back. If they wanted to sustain life, the only way they could sustain life is go back to Egypt and to Joseph. And so let's read here, chapter 43. Everybody ready tonight to receive what God has for us? Say, man, you got to be plugged in. Getting here is what? Half the battle. The other half of the battle is to not fall asleep during the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. The other half of the battle is to stay plugged in and receive what God has for us tonight. You made it thus far. What a shame it'd be to leave here without receiving all that God has for you. So let's look into the Word of God. Keep our hearts and minds focused on what God has for us. So here in Genesis chapter 43, verse 1. And the famine was sore in the land. It came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father Jacob said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? And have ye another brother? And we told him according to the terror of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, now do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. And take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Fathers, we bow before you tonight. Again, we love you. Thank you for the precious word of God, that which represents you and your heart and your mind and your will for our lives. And as we have assembled here tonight, Lord, we want to study this, especially as we're studying this life of Joseph, that which you have placed in your word, that we would learn these biblical principles from this story. And pray tonight you would give us all that ear to hear exactly what you have to say to us, and then a heart to make an application. Bless in the study tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 14, Jacob, or Israel, the same man, says, "And God Almighty give you mercy before the man." Through acknowledging God, they are learning to fear Him. A reverential fear of God. In everything that we do in life, it's the fear of God which is the beginning of knowledge. This understanding of there is a God. And if there is a God, then He better be reverenced. Because if He is the God of the Bible, He is the Creator God. And He knows all things. And He's able to do all things. And we can't get anything by God. And God is not mocked. He's not deceived. He's not laughed at and getting by with it. This is God. And if God is real, then what we need to do is make sure that we are acknowledging Him in every area of our lives, in every decision that we make. And again, there in Ecclesiastes, you'll not have to turn there, but Solomon, the wisest man, according to the Word of God, at the end of all of his folly, at the end of all of his trials and his testings of God, at the end of his life, this is what he writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." His whole life researching God and researching the blessings of God and the judgments of God. And he says this, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." The conclusion is this: fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is what God is looking for. A people who will reverence Him. A people who will see Him as who He is. And then do what He says to do. Obey Him. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Whether you believe in Him or not, that doesn't make this void. It's going to take place. Everyone will stand and give an account to God for themselves. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, God sees it all. God sees everything that takes place. God sees every sparrow that falls out of the tree. God is aware of every flower that grows. He's aware of every hair on your head. That's the God that we serve. Better acknowledge Him. So what Joseph is doing here is getting these 10 brothers and 11 now, counting Benjamin. But Benjamin was not there when they sold Joseph into slavery. He was alive, but he was a child. He was younger. Stayed with his dad. But the idea here is to get these men who would become the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel to the place where they're acknowledging God. So we find this testing. Verse 1 and 2, we find that Jacob's family faced severe famine and hunger. Now, God had already told Joseph, he knew that after the 7 plenteous years, there would be 7 years. A famine like the world has never known. And there would be a death because of the famine. And the famine was sore in the land. Joseph knew they'd be back. And it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father breaks down unto them and says, go again to buy us a little food. They were facing severe famine and hunger. They were facing death. No doubt they had already seen some of their livestock die because they had no grain to feed them. They had Jacob had a ranch and had a good-sized ranch, and that's why Joseph had to come back and tell him the state of his herds so that he would know that how they were being taken care of, so he would be a good steward. We've already seen some of that. They had a large ranch, and so now without having any grain to feed the animals, not only grain to make bread and eat themselves, but they couldn't feed their animals. And so they find that their animals are starting to starve to death. And they're looking around, and no doubt they're all becoming lean. No fat on them. And the next thing that he can tell is they're going to die. And we're losing not only of our cattle, but we're fearful of our own lives. We have been rationing our food as much as we possibly can. And matter of fact, if you look at verse 8, that's what Judah says. And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will rise and go, that we may live and not die. We may live. If we don't go back to Egypt, no matter what we're going to face there, no matter what it is, if we don't go back there, we're going to die. There's no other way of getting through this. That's the only place that we can go to find food. There's no food anywhere. If we don't go back, we're going to die. Jacob knows this. And so because of that, he now facing this famine, facing death, they realize what would eventually happen. And so we find that Jacob, as well as the other sons, would have to acknowledge God. Can I tell you that death comes to all? It's appointed unto man once to die. Time to be born, time to die. As we live in this earth, on this earth, we're going to face and we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to face the death of our loved ones. We're going to face the death of other friends and family. And eventually, if the Lord tarries His coming and His rapture of the church, then each one of us here will face that physical death as well. Everyone has to deal with death and dying. But not everyone deals with it as well as they could. Psalms in chapter 23. Psalms in chapter 23. Just, you can write this down and I'll go rather quickly here because I'm going to look at Psalms 23 and then Psalms 116. But Psalms in 23, a very well-known passage of Scripture. I read it just about at every funeral service that I perform. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. And here it is. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's touching my life, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and Thy staff. God's protection and God's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have that as a assurance. I have the truths of God's Word to trust in. Can I tell you that having a shepherd makes all the difference in the world? The Lord is my shepherd. If you know that, if you know that God is your shepherd, then let me tell you something. Looking to Him is the most important thing that we can do as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. As we face this in our own lives, or lives of loved ones and friends, having a shepherd makes a difference. In the very same book of Psalms, in chapter 116, Psalms 116 in verses 1 through 5, the Bible says this, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. He's my shepherd. I'm going to stay in close contact with him. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Whenever I'm having to deal with some things that I didn't never want to have to deal with, whenever I have to face something that's hard to face, I have a shepherd. Don't lose sight of that. I have a shepherd. Job understood that in Job in chapter 5. Job in chapter 5, he says this in verse 7 and 8. Job chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, yet man is born unto trouble. As the sparks fly upward. As the sparks fly upward. That's what kind of trouble. Now, you can imagine Job, and he's looking at a campfire, and the campfire, as you're burning wood, you'll see that there's all kinds of sparks coming off the campfire. If you're downwind, you don't want to be downwind because all those sparks and smoke gets in your face and you got to be careful. But the sparks, that's what he's talking about, just all of it, just like that. That's trouble. We face trouble every day. Everyone faces their own trouble. Everyone has their own cross to bear. Everyone has their own burdens. We should not expect other people to carry and bear our burdens. And when you look to God to help you to bear your burdens, then God will send others to help bear your burdens. And we all are to be used by God, but you can't help somebody bear their burdens until they are willing to bear their own burdens. Looking to God, and God allows us to have the burdens we have, and many times these burdens are what draw us closer to God. When you're thinking you're doing good for someone and you're just trying to help them, if they're not looking to God, then you're not a help to them. Many times God works things in their life to get them to trust and look to Him. And when they're looking to Him and looking to bear their burdens, then you can help that individual by helping them to bear their burdens. Troubles are a part of life. Death is going to be a part of life. Some people lose sight of God, and when you lose sight of God, you'll not handle walking through the valley of the shadow of death like you could have if you were aware of a shepherd. Jacob's family, go back with me. That's just acknowledging God. That's acknowledging God. That's where God wanted them to be. God wanted them to get to the place where they had no other choice. The thing that they had to do is just look to God and trust in Him and acknowledge Him no matter what the outcome, no matter how bleak the situation was. They were facing this famine, hunger, death all around them. Verses 2 through 5, Jacob would have to send his sons back with Benjamin, or they were all going to die. He realized that. Judah realized that. In verse 10, the Bible says, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now. He got to the place where he knew this had to be. This had to be. There was nothing else they could do. If it must be so now, do this. Jacob would have to send his sons back with Benjamin. They had tried to wait it out. And sometimes that's what we need to do. As we're facing situations, sometimes it is. You just look to God and say, Lord, help me to have the patience. Help me to be able to endure what's taken place until the circumstances might change. The circumstances might change. The job that you want might open up. The circumstances might change. Something that God opens a door that you didn't know existed. The circumstances change, whatever they might be. Maybe the rain would come. Jacob's thinking, let's wait as long as we can before we have to make this decision. And because circumstances might change. If the rain comes and we're able to grow the crops and we can provide for our own cattle and we can provide for our own family and we will not be dependent upon Egypt. And so they had waited as long as they could wait. Verse 10, for except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. Now, Judah realizes here, says, we waited as long, all that we could, as long as we can wait. And more than likely, that's going to be a hindrance in Egypt because they're going to wonder why we waited so long to come back. And now, because we waited so long, they might think us to be spies. So there was a lot going, but they had waited as long as they could. And we find that Jacob knew it was the will of God. Can I tell you that knowing the will of God is what's most important in what we do? Four things to know the will of God for your life. Real quickly, the first thing is the Word of God, the Bible. God will never lead you opposite His Word. He's not going to do it. If God says, thou shalt not, He's not going to lead you to do something that He's just said in the Bible, thou shalt not. If He says, thou shalt, He's never going to excuse you from doing what He has commanded us to do. Simple. This Bible's not that hard to understand. The very first thing that you need to do is to know the Word of God. To know the will of God is to know the Word of God. And so I've got to know, is this something that God would have me to do? If the Bible says this is what you ought to do, do it. Don't pray about it, just do it, knowing it's what the Bible says. If the Bible says this is something you should not do, then don't do it. Don't pray about it, just don't do it. It's already established. That's the will of God for your life. The Word of God is the will of God. But sometimes the Word of God does not give us precise instructions on what we're dealing with in this day and age. The second thing, if you can't find it in the Word of God as far as a decision, a definite yes or no, do it or don't do it, second thing you look to is God's peace. If you're saved, as we preached on a week ago Sunday, Jesus told disciples, and doing things, especially this kind of thing, there's three things you look to. First of all, faith. And faith leads you to an open door of prayer. Faith gets you saved, and when you get saved, you have a direct communication with God. There's a door in heaven that opens up to you, that it opens up to every saved individual because you have been made alive, you have been quickened. Before you're saved, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You can't talk to God. You cannot get through to God because you are dead to God. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. But once you get saved, we find that there is a door to heaven opened up to you and you have a direct communication, a direct line to God. Use it. Pray. If you don't get the peace in praying, then you pray and fast. That's what we've been doing this month. Fasting, awareness month. Pray and fast. And if it does, if you do not get the desired response to your prayer, then realize God will give you peace to accept whatever it is. It's His will. Pray and fasting, do that for, it'll do that for us. So the second thing is, once you've looked to the Word of God, is look to the peace of God. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within inside of you. You're sealed, and you pray and you seek the peace of God. Before you make the decision, seek the peace of God. While you're seeking the peace of God, the third thing that you do is that you seek counsel, godly counsel. Godly counsel. Preferably somebody that has been where you're at and that has found the blessings of God in dealing with what you are now dealing with. And counsel with them. Counsel, and a multitude of counselors are safety. Where no counsel is, people fall. God tells you to do it. That's one of those, do it. Well, I don't know what they'll think. Don't let pride get in your way of getting the help that you need. It might be that's why you're in the situation you're in. God can't stand pride. Better humble ourselves before an almighty God, acknowledging Him. And the last thing, and it's always the last thing, be aware of the circumstances of your life. God controls the circumstances of our lives. It was just God controlling the circumstances when David took lunch to his brothers, and at that precise time, Goliath came out against them. But an hour earlier, hour later, David would have never heard what Goliath said, and David would have never surrendered to kill the giant. What did God control? The circumstances. And God is still controlling the circumstances of your life. You look at the circumstances. Circumstances of where you're at, when you're, whatever time of life, and look at the circumstances compared to the decisions that need to be made. And you'll find the will of God in making that decision. Jacob did all that. Jacob, no doubt, because he says, "And God Almighty give you mercy." He looked to God. He looked to the peace of God. There's no doubt he was looking at whatever counsel that might have been available. He looked at the circumstances. They were going to die if he did not make the decision. They had waited as long as they could wait. They had to make the decision. And so now Jacob would have to send his sons back with Benjamin. He kept Benjamin home. He'd already lost Joseph. Chapter 43 and verses 11 through 14, the last thing is, once a decision is made, give it your best. Once you know this is the will of God, don't half-heartedly follow through with it. Give it your all. Whatever it might be. If this is God's will, if this is what God would have me to do, I'm not going to just half-heartedly do it. I'm going to do all that I can do in this area. Look what he did. Verse 11. And their father Israel said unto them, "If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels." The best fruits. That would be a sacrifice. There wasn't food in the land. It was a drought, it was a famine, and he says, "I want them to see that we're giving it our all. Take to him the best fruits." Wow. Verse 12 says, "And double money." Let him see that we're sincere about this. Make sure that you, all the money that was returned to you, double it up. Take double the money. And then verse 13, probably the most prized thing that Jacob had. "And also your brother." Probably the hardest thing for Jacob to agree to. Take Benjamin. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. We're almost ready to close here, so follow with me. Matthew 21, verse 21. Jesus teaching his disciples. One of those biblical principles taught out of the life of Joseph. Matthew 21, verse 21. Jesus answered and said to them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea,' it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." When you know it's the will of God, act out of faith and not doubt. It's the will of God, no matter what. God's going to bless it. God's going to work in it. It's the will of God. There's nothing that could be done that would be better than to follow the will of God. Not only is it right, you've got to understand it's best to do what God says to do. Give it your all. Act out of faith and not doubt. Jacob sent with them their most valuable possessions, the best fruit, double the money, and their youngest brother. He would have to know that they had done all that they could have done. If the boys never come back. They went to Egypt and died in Egypt. All 11. Because he already thought Joseph was gone. He would have to know, no matter what took place, that he had done all that could have. If you're not giving it your best, you don't know that you've done it all. If you're not giving it everything you have, how do you know if it could have turned out different? Trust in God. Once you know what God would have you do, no matter what it is, give it your all and trust in the Lord. Prepare for victory. But if the victory that you hope for does not come to pass, then so be it. God is still God. That's what he says. Chapter 43, verse 14, look what he says. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother in Benjamin. That's what they prayed for. That's what they were doing all they could, and this was what their desired result was. They'd all come home safe. We met what the conditions the man set before us. You're going to bring back all 11 boys. We're going to have food, and this is what we prayed for. We're going to prepare for this victory. We're going to do everything we can, everything we know to do. We're going to do our best, give it our all. But then look what he says. If I be bereaved of my children, if my children perish, if none of you return, I am bereaved. Then so be it. God is still God. So be it. I did all I could do. No doubt, it was the will of God. In the book of Esther, in chapter 4, you'll not have to turn there. Let me just read it to you. Esther had been put in a position as queen. Her uncle came to her and said, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargements and deliverances arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is what needs to be done, Esther. This is what we need to give it our all. And Esther said, I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king. I'm going to do it, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. As long as we've done everything we can do, we do that in preparation for victory. But if we don't get what we think we ought to receive, it doesn't change that God is still God. And so be it. I'll accept God's will, no matter what. Why? Because I know who He is, and I am acknowledging Him. Wow. Everything that's been going on, these tests that Joseph is putting his brothers through, designed by God, and it'll get them from lying and stealing and selling their own brother into slavery to the place where they will be dependent upon God, acknowledging Him and making up the 12 tribes of Israel. There's nothing that we can do that is going to be as important as acknowledging God and doing what He says. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these things. God's aware of it. He knows what you have need of. He knows all that's going on. Act out of faith. Give it your all. Don't allow Satan to put doubt in your heart and your mind. I'm not going to have a musical invitation. Right now is an invitation time. God's speaking to you if there's a decision that you need to make. Maybe you just need to come to that place. You agree with God. I'm going to do everything I can do. I'm going to prepare for victory. But if not, so be it. God is still God. That's never going to change. God is still God. Anyone else? Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank You for the story of Joseph and what You've given to us. And God, how You just spoke to us and allowing us to have a understanding and being able to apply some of these biblical principles. I pray that we might continue to grow in our faith concerning them. And Lord, just realize how important it is to continue to learn and apply all that You teach us. Now be with us as we leave here tonight and watch over us, get us home safely. And bring us back at the next appointed hour. Pray that Your will would be done. We would celebrate the blessings of God this Sunday, especially with it being our 28th anniversary, that You would put an excitement in the hearts and the minds of every individual, that we might, Lord, just rejoice in all that You've done. Continue to bless and direct us as we leave here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.